Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
The answer of the week is here. I'm here. Keith Binder's here.
Hey.
We're all here.
We're here.
We're here to talk about your answers to the question of the week. Every week, we post a question, usually, but not always, inspired by one of our listeners. You send us your answers in MP3 or voicemail format, and then we play them and rap about them here on the show.
With crazy rules.
No crazy rules. They are very reasonable rules, and you all are crybabies.
I'm here to speak for you, the people.
Yeah, Keith's your advocate. Normally, we limit it to 10 calls, but we're taking next week off, and I'm feeling very generous. Also, Matt's not here to police me. So we're going to play all your calls this week. Keith's in a giving mood, and it's going to be a little bit of a throwback to the olden days that we just did away with 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. I'm excited to hear from all of you.
This week's question, of all of the titles that have been resurrected over the years, which one do you wish would have stayed gone? Originally, I posed it as titles or characters, not remembering that just 3 months ago, we did dead characters we wish would have stayed gone.
Yeah. I feel like this is going to be a controversial one.
So here's a caveat. If you did not get the memo about me editing the question and you talked about a character you wish would have stayed dead, you're probably not going to get played on the show.
You monsters.
Sorry. Let's get right into it. Our first caller.
Let me guess. Is it Randy Andrews?
Reclaiming his title, Randy Andrews.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked, what comic title would we like to see gone and stay gone?
Sort of.
I had a toss-up this week, guys.
Sort of.
I was either choosing Wolverine or the one that I finally picked, and that is the Fantastic Four.
Oh!
Now, why would I pick the Fantastic Four? It has been around for a very long time, but if you really think about it, Fantastic Four is just that. There isn't a main plot. I mean, there have been stories to where there's a plot line, but there's no real story to keep you caring about the characters. I mean, sure, they have been around a long time, but it's just not enough to care anymore. I think that they need to just get rid of the series. So, that's my thoughts, guys. Hope you like it. And check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. My music this week is from Armageddon. And I will see you in a week.
We were both wrong.
Bye. We were both now. Wrong, yeah.
I thought it was Pirates of the Caribbean. Keith thought it was Crimson Tide.
It's all the same. I think it's all Hans Zimmer.
Whatever. Yeah, it's all Hans Zimmer. It's all Jan Hammer.
It's a Fantastic Four.
Randy.
You're killing me, man.
You are wrong, but that's okay.
You broke my heart with that answer. and you're going to get your own wish because I think it's going away, is it not?
Yeah. Yep. The FF is going away and
the dogs are going crazy.
The pugs are freaking out. I disagree about the Fantastic Four. Obviously, the reason they've been around for so long is because the characters are compelling, but I understand it's not everybody's cup of tea. And they are going away, and perhaps absence will make the heart grow fonder.
Well, maybe James Robinson's Fantastic Four isn't for everybody.
Maybe not.
But, yeah.
Let's move on. Who do we got here? Black Scorpion the Three.
Ooh.
Well, nerds, I'll keep this quick because, quite frankly, I exhausted myself answering this question the wrong way earlier. The answer is the Suicide Squad. Ostrander is what made the Suicide Squad. And all it needs are some simple things. A yellow shirt, a chubby Waller, and some disposable side characters. It does not need pinup girl covers, does not need Harley Quinn. I'm not looking forward to this title being alive as a vehicle for Will Smith or whoever they'll cast in the movie. Keep it buried. Until next time, make mine Ostrander.
Preach!
Absolutely. the Suicide Squad that we have now pales in comparison to the one that was made famous by Ostrander and McDonald in the 80s. And I could not care less about it.
To be fair, the DC universe we have pales in comparison to then.
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah. New Suicide Squad. Terrible.
I am not hopeful for this movie because it's definitely going to be this new 52-ified version with Harley in it and the Joker for no goddamn reason.
I think he gets 3 minutes screen time. That's it.
Maybe. I don't know. They're pushing it pretty hard.
Ike Barinholtz has just got cast in it, and I love that guy from the Mindy Project.
Okay. But what's his
super
deal?
Funny.
Who is he going to be?
Who cares?
Thank you for your skull. Thank you for your skull.
Thank you for your skull.
Thank you for your call, Black Scorpion.
I want your skull.
Keeping it low key, keeping it muted. I appreciate it. I'm sorry for the confusion. Next up, Z Bill. It's been a little while.
Hello, it's Z Bill. Your question, what comic series would you rather have stayed dead? My answer is Infinity Man and the Forever People. You see, I love that property. I love Jack Kirby, especially his Fourth World material, but this latest effort was just pretty dreadful. I mean, maybe if they had stayed with Keith Giffen as the artist and not constantly rotate the art all the time, but probably not, because the story was terrible. It just seems like half the time, more than half the time, they just mess up the Jack Kirby material at DC. Like, OMAC was good, which was the same creative team. But then you got, like, the Death of the New Gods, and you've got Godhead, which I'm sure is terrible. I mean, but you got good stuff like Orion, too, the Walt Simons and stuff. But I don't know, I'd just rather they just not do it at all than just do it so horribly. That's my answer. Have a good day.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I haven't read the new Infinity Man because we don't get enough copies for me to take one home and read it.
And I'm definitely not paying for it.
Yeah. It didn't look good.
You know, I read the first one and it's fine. And it's honestly, I don't have much connection to the Forever People.
Right.
But I think it takes real guts to come in and say, you know what? I think I'm the one to reinvent Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've ever done it well.
No.
And I don't mean to be a grumpy old fanboy about it, but there's a reason he's the king, okay?
For sure.
Z Bill, great answer. Great call. Welcome back. Let's go to the voicemail.
Oh, man.
This one's from Iowa.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's Danny. I'm here to answer this week's question of the week about which hero do you think should stay dead? Well, I'm going to have to say the Fantastic Four. I mean, I know it's controversial, and I know a lot of people like them, but the last run in 2012 just was kind of weird. And the way they had, like, that Future Foundation staying back, it was just all messed up. The Fantastic Four kind of annoy me, but I'm pretty sure other people can say different things. Didn't mean to offend anybody by it, but, yeah.
I'm offended.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right. So, Danny...
Vote number two.
Answered with characters he wish had stayed gone.
But it also is a title.
And I know that I said I was going to cut those from the show, but it was 30 seconds, and I love that Danny calls in.
Danny's rad and he's got his own opinions.
He's in the show.
He's against the stream kind of guy. I like him.
That's right. So Fantastic Four, another vote against the FF. I don't know.
Might have been my favorite run of Fantastic Four, but that's okay. He can hate it.
Yeah. Danny, again, I don't know that I can agree with you, but I certainly appreciate your opinion and your right to it.
Please keep calling.
Absolutely. Keep reading comics.
Definitely.
You're doing great. Moving right along, Elise Wisdom is not deterred by our new rules.
Elise!
Let's see what she has to say.
Hello, listeners. It's Elise Wisdom here to answer the question of the week. I'm really excited about this week's question because hold on. There's something in the tree outside my window. I think it's a... Is that a Manchichi? Oh, God damn it. It's Matt. Hold on a minute. I gotta take care of something. Matt! I see you! Stop pretending to be a squirrel. You're not fooling any
everybody! Put down the acorn! I'm getting the stick!
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, guys. I gotta go take care of this. God damn it, Matt. Casey is gonna be so pissed!
he's not even here to defend himself.
Well, obviously we know what Matt's doing with his time off from the podcast.
See, I thought he was famous, but apparently he's just spying on Elise as a squirrel. Oh, that's awesome.
Well done, Elise. Disqualified! Just kidding.
With extreme prejudice.
You're getting on the show anyway because you're entertaining. And your MP3s always sound amazing.
Yeah, what do you got on that thing? A Shure mic?
Are you doing it? Like, are you just holding your phone? Are you talking into an actual mic setup? What is the deal?
It's so good.
Great job.
Put a tutorial on the forums for everybody.
Yeah, that would be great. Next up, our newest sustaining donor.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Orca, who wanted to clarify his cousin really does live in Omaha, and he really is from Maine. Two facts which I disputed last week.
All right. I guess I just don't know anybody from Maine. It sounds like a fake accent, but I love it anyways.
He says, I am indeed from Maine for real. All my references are real. Moxie, Allen's Coffee Brandy, UncleHenry's.com, incest. Well, maybe not so much. Well, but maybe a little.
Is Maine the Kentucky of the Northeast?
Maybe it is. Kiss, kiss, da orca. All right. So he sent in an MP3. Let's see what it's all about.
Can't wait.
In 2001, we was all subjected to three of the worst reboot slash comebacks of all time. First, his anus decided to come out of retirement to shit all over his legacy. You could barely slide a piece of paper under his feet when he'd take a jumper, and he did this not in his timeless red and black, but instead in the putrid teal and silver of the ugliest team in the history of the league, the Washington Wizards. Second, my niece Cheryl, who was once quite a looker, let herself go to the point that no amount of BJs was going to keep her husband around. This left Cheryl with eight little mouths to feed, because you do get an extra $4,000 per annum per mouth from the welfare that you can spend on whatever. Cigs, scratches, Allen's coffee brandy. So Cheryl decided to cram herself back into her old tube top halter and pleather skirt and find herself a new man. Problem was that the 2001 version of Cheryl went a good 2 feet field-dressed. Field-dressed is hunting lingo, meaning without the heart and liver for all you corn-husking vegans. Needless to say, Cheryl State was country. About as successful as Jordan was that year. But the worst comeback and legacy killer of 2001 was Frank Miller and his enormous ego crapping all over what is quite probably the greatest story ever told when he started fighting out DK2. Not only did he trade in a great story and gritty dystopian future of the DCU for a convoluted acid trip with way too many bright colors, but he couldn't even get out on time. Hey Frank, if you're gonna confuse the shit out of all your loyal readers, at least have the whole story in the can before you break our hearts. You still owe me $18, you money-grubbing prick. So there you go, boys. Three terrible attempts to reclaim glory, all miserable flops, all in the same year. How's that for a Gucci? This here's the Orca, signing off from the snowy woods of Maine.
Gucci indeed.
Bravo.
I was terrified that we would just not have any more callers answering the question. But he pulls out in the end, Dark Knight Strikes Again.
I don't think, it's a cliche to say, but I don't think any title has ever been more apt to use the cliche other than this book. DK2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, really. It was.
It is terrible.
It's very, very bad. Orca.
Drugs. It was drugs.
Yeah, drugs. Orca.
9/11.
Yeah, maybe. Orca, thank you for your call. That is a great answer and probably one of the best examples of something that should have stayed in the past.
100%.
Lord Steven, Master of Coin, is back with his MP3 that he says is going to be controversial.
Oh,
many
exciting.
Will be angry with me, but I had to be honest with it. And he clarifies his answer from last week. He has two other coins in his collection that are older than the one he talked about.
Oh, my God.
The oldest of the bunch is from the reign of Alexander the Great and is roughly 2,300 years old. He sent a picture. It's super cool.
I want to hang out with this guy.
Or Steven, man. He is a man of many facets.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, no.
No.
Hello, this is Lord Steven, Master of Coins, sending in my answer to the question of the week.
Oh, no.
It's going to be controversial, but I'm sticking to it. What comic should have stayed dead? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, no.
I'm going to lay this out there. When it comes to team books, I cannot stand Brian Michael Bendis as a writer. His solo books, I like. I like what I've read of Ultimate Spider-Man. I like Alias. But I have never read a team book by Bendis that I have enjoyed. His versions of the characters tend to disregard everything I liked about them in the first place. His Rocket Raccoon, in particular, annoys the hell out of me. Why does he need a catchphrase? And why the f*** does it have to be something as annoying as Blam murdered you? Why is he suddenly pissed when people call him a raccoon? And then he adds characters to the team that have no place being there. Wolverine should never have been an Avenger. Iron Man should never have been a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy. His story arcs go on for months, and it seems that nothing has ever happened in them. They happen constantly, and there's no progress until the very last issue. The current series, in my eyes, was a cash grab, and nothing more. They needed a writer on board because of the movie, and they gave it to him because, for whatever reason, people buy his books. I would have vastly preferred that Star-Lord stay dead forever, than to see him butchered like he has been in the past few years. So while I know that Joe and Matt, as well as the vast majorities of the listeners of this show, are probably going to disagree, that is my answer. No regrets. See ya.
Wow.
No regrets.
Wow.
While I do disagree, I totally understand what he's saying. Bendis absolutely ignores every facet of a character's history and existence to suit his own whims, and I've been saying it for years.
Well, mostly recently. I feel like since New Avengers,
it's always been this way. It's always been this way. It's not that it's not well written. It's not that it's not compelling or that the dialogue is bad. At least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But he does absolutely ignore everything about a character to fit his story. He doesn't make his story fit the character. And I get it, man. I agree with you there. I vastly, vastly prefer the Abnett and Landing Guardians of the Galaxy to the current series. Yeah. I might not be as hard on it as you, Steven, but I don't necessarily disagree completely.
Yeah, I mean, his points are valid, you know, for sure, but I really love Bendis's work. I am behind on Guardians, so I can't speak to that. What I've read of it and All New X-Men and Uncanny X-Men were really good, but his Avengers work, early 2000s, mid 2000s, was great. And Ultimate Spider-Man is one of my favorite stories of all time.
Not a team book.
Not a team book. Same with his Daredevil. His Daredevil was amazing.
Right.
Not a team book.
Yeah.
Alias as well. Yeah. And, you know, I think he's plays well in his own sandbox.
One of my main complaints about Bendis's team books is that every character sounds essentially the same. And yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. But for me, I still glean some enjoyment from them. But I understand. I can understand why people don't like it. And I support your right to feel that way, Steven. This is a judgment-free zone.
He is Master of Coin. So, I mean, he gets to have these opinions.
That's right.
He's paid for them.
That's right. Back to the Google Voice. I have no idea who this is. Let's get right into it.
I'm calling in for the answer of the week.
Yeah, you are.
You asked the question of what comic title that should have stayed dead, buried, left alone. Well, this is Donkey Nuts. This is my first time calling in, and I'm going to tell you this. I know a lot of people are going to hate me for this, but I don't care if they hate me. You get your table, chairs, ladders. You can go Devon Dudley on me. It doesn't matter. But what I'm going to say is this, and most people will agree, DC Comics should have left Infinity Crisis alone. It was set up perfectly. You had countless storylines that could have been not retold, not rehashed, not retroed. You had a source to tap into. And it just surprised me. You come and do these things here and you try to imitate something that was already a masterpiece. But that's my time. Joe Patrick, you do a good job. Matt. Yeah. Well, people don't really get along with me. But you know what, though? I'll buy you a drink. Donkey Nuts. Out.
Okay, he said his name was Donkey Nuts.
Yeah, he did.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited about this guy.
So, Donkey Nuts.
Donkey Nuts, welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. I'm choosing to spell it Donkey N-U-T-Z.
Do it.
Because that's how we do it.
Yeah.
So he's saying, stop imitating Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I think so. I think he really hated Infinite Crisis.
Yeah. You know what?
And he's not wrong.
Buddy, you know how to speak right to my heart. You know who you were talking to, and I appreciate you for it.
And I mean, that story is a bit of a mess, especially if you don't read it with those two Superman issues with the 3D.
Oh, that's Final Crisis.
Oh, yeah, that's Final Crisis. My bad.
But still, I mean, that's another, like, stop rehashing.
Yeah, that's also a bad thing.
Infinite
Crisis was weird.
Infinite Crisis was a book that I enjoyed in the moment, but then when I look back on it, it's just so symptomatic of DC's decline into this, like, dark and gritty, like, everything's got to be extreme and brutal. You've got Superboy Prime, like, punching his fist through people.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible.
The book ends with the death of the original Superman. I mean, what the hell, man?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
I don't... Yeah. Donkey Nuts.
It looked nice. It was drawn well. Was it Phil Jimenez?
It was Phil Jimenez. George Perez contributed as well. It was all over the place artistically because it had fill-in bits here and there.
Yeah.
I appreciate that call. I can't disagree. Stop going back to the well.
Yes, please.
And Crisis on Infinite Earths was a masterpiece.
Yes, it was.
So Donkey Nuts' transcript is all over the place. And to be fair to the transcript, I had a hard time understanding his call also.
Well, you know.
But part of the transcript is the word, is the phrase, debone Delhi. But it's spelled like New Delhi, D-E-L-H-I. So there's your title for this week's podcast, Debone Delhi. More voicemails, and this one, I think, has a problem with our premise.
Uh-oh.
If you don't care about something, just don't buy it. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just don't buy it. Don't like She-Hulk? Don't buy it. Don't like Howard the Duck? Don't buy it. Don't like Batgirl? Don't buy it. Who cares? Bring it back 100 times. What does it matter? It's just another thing on the shelf. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Bye.
Pretty sure that was Jason Sachs.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
But when you love something and they want to bring it back and they butcher it in your eyes, you know, in your opinion, you can take offense to it. It ain't going to hurt nobody else. Well, just don't be a jerk and start threatening the creators on Twitter.
Well, yeah, that's true. I appreciate his sentiment, though. You know, there's a lot of stuff in this world to get upset about. The fact that they revived Dark Knight Returns is probably not one you should waste time on. However, we are comic fans and we like to feel our feelings, so there you go.
And we needed a show.
And we needed a show for this week. Jason, if that was you, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks for keeping us on the straight and narrow, buddy. David Robbins writes back. You may recall that last week he sent an answer in that for the best collecting score, and it was that autographed Buffy the Vampire Slayer thing, and we were like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
David says, oh man, you're totally right. I did forget to attach the MP3. He did send it along for posterity. David, I'm sorry, we're not going to play it. But he clarified that thing that he showed was an end capped sign from the Walden books that he worked at up until 2002. And it's got a huge list of names that assigned the thing from cast and crew, stunt doubles, makeup artists, writers. It is awesome. This list is crazy. He says, I plan to add Nathan Fillion, Adam Baldwin, and Summer Glau this summer, all of whom guest starred on Buffy.
Towards the end of the series, yeah.
The only big Buffy cast members he's really missing are Sarah Michelle Gellar, Seth Green, and Anthony Stewart Head. Good luck with those.
Yeah. I mean, Seth Green shows up places every once in a while, but Sarah Michelle Gellar, she's like a recluse now.
And I don't think she really cares too much about bringing up her Buffy past. But
as long as Freddie Prinze Jr. is making all the money, it's cool.
Freaking Jeremy Renner signed it.
What? Was he in that?
He must have played a part one time.
Did you know, speaking of my friend Dahmer earlier on the show, he was Jeffrey Dahmer in a movie. terrifying.
Callback. Here's another MP3, this time from Demetrius Murray.
Why, hello there, Joe and Matt. It's Demetrius again, calling for your answer of the week. I hope I get on. I got my fingers crossed. My answer is Batgirl. Ooh. I'm not a big fan of the new Batgirl comic. I never really was when the new 52 showed up. I loved Oracle. I loved having the thoughts and memories of Barbara Gordon as Batgirl, but she got into her new role as Oracle. I loved how she was like the coolest handicapable superhero heroine. Just awesome. And to make her a superhero Batgirl again, just I don't care. But yeah, that's my answer. Oracle, Batgirl. Bring back the Birds of Prey. That's what I want. I like living in the past. Let me enjoy it.
Dead on, Demetrius.
Yeah.
And this isn't about hating the current Batgirl. This is about hating the fact that they even deigned to bring Barbara Gordon back as a superhero and flush her history as Oracle.
Yeah.
A huge disservice to probably what was DC's most interesting character.
I got into this a while ago when the Batgirl cover controversy, when Batgirlgate happened.
Hashtag Batgirlgate.
Yeah. And my main problem with the new Batgirl is not that it's poorly written or anything, because I don't read it because it's just not for me anymore. But they took a character, a female character that was probably the most important female character we've ever seen in comics. Like, she became that.
And regressed her.
And now she's not as fun.
Yep, it's true. Demetrius says, I'm watching Daredevil while I record this, so if I sound excited, that's why. Now you know why.
Yeah,
I know the feeling, buddy.
Go read that Convergence Nightwing book, man. It'll bring it all back for you.
Three calls to go, of them from the voicemail.
Oh my God, what? Where are your MP3s, people?
It's all right, man. Let's see what we got here. I'm not sure who this is.
What's up, nerds? This is Matt Baum, walking through beautiful downtown Salt Lake City. It's a gorgeous day.
Oh no.
And I'm angry. I'll tell you what I'm pissed about. I'm pissed about this week's question of the week. You want to know what comic? I'm going on Randy Andrews on you here now. Do you want to know what comic that I think shouldn't have come back? Stormwatch.
Oof.
Stormwatch, in my opinion, was the perfect example of the ultimate mishandling the Wildstorm character to the DC. They never knew what to do with it. Some of my favorite stories came out of those Wildstorm books. Stormwatch, when it returned in the New 52, they just had no clue what they were doing. Not to mention the fact that they shelved John Jones, farted him in there, which was just horrible. Not only did they screw up the characters, they screwed up Martian Manhunter. It was awful. I did not need it back. I loved Stormwatch, and it sits in a happy part of my childhood. Please leave it alone, DC. I'll talk to you nerds later.
Welcome aboard, Matt Baum.
Welcome aboard.
First time caller.
Famous Matt Baum.
I do hate to break it to you, though. We are over our 10 call limit, so you're probably going to get cut.
Yeah, you suck. But I don't disagree.
No, I totally agree.
Holy crap, that book made me angry.
Warren Ellis's Stormwatch, which morphed into The Authority, he transformed that book into something that is essential reading for comic book fans. And I know that when Matt Baum says he loves Stormwatch, he means he loved it from its pre-Ellis terrible Wildstorm roots. And that's okay.
We were kids once.
We were all young and dumb once. But yeah, what they did to Stormwatch after Ellis left.
Oh, and I feel like they really just gave John Johns the short end of the stick. It was
absolutely.
It was terrible.
Martian Manhunter has been completely underserved by the DC reboot, and it is criminal.
Yeah.
However, now he is getting his own title. In June when
whatever comes back,
whatever it is that's happening when whatever it is that's happening happens. So maybe he's going to get a little bit of his prominence back. I hope that's true.
I hope so. Yeah.
The one thing I loved about the Martian Manhunter And I know that this is just like sticking to tradition and who really cares, but The Martian Manhunter was the one character that was a founding member of every single incarnation of the Justice League.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was like a thing. That was like a part of his history. And when they decided to reboot everything, they just completely wiped it out.
Yeah.
And I hate it. Yeah, I hate it.
It's not good. I miss the old Martian Manhunter. I really do.
Yeah.
But hooray, I can pick up old books.
Yep, that's true. Let's go to the voicemail once again. David Robbins calling in.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. Greetings, listeners. David Robbins calling in with my answer to the question of the week. Talking about what we wanted to have, you know, stay dead. What comics do we want to have stay dead? I'm going to go with Gen 13 on this one.
Sorry, Randy.
The first volume was given to me by a friend of mine before I really even started getting into comics. I started with mostly X-Men in 94. And volume one is great. Volume two is decent. And then it should have just stayed there. It just between Gen 13 bootleg and volume three, and no offense meant to Gil Simone on that. She does great work. It just really wasn't what I kind of was looking for out of a Gen 13 book. And then let's not talk about volume four, the terrible, terrible thing that was Gen 13 in name only. When I think of that book, I really only think of the first five-issue mini and then the next volume. Just give me Fairchild, Freefall, Grunge, Burnout, and Rainmaker. That's about it. Anyway, that's all I got for you guys this week. Take it easy. I'll catch you on the next one. Later.
Hey, Gen 13.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed Gen 13. We've talked about this before. I enjoyed Gen 13 back when it was at Image before Wildstorm moved to DC.
Yeah.
And I agree that with each subsequent reboot, it has gotten less interesting.
I was, I think, 12 or 13 when that book came out. So I remember reading it and enjoying it, but I don't know if I was enjoying it for the right reasons. And, I have tried to revisit it and not successfully. I couldn't get back into it. Even though Gail Simone wrote a lot of it, I'm like, I didn't go there.
Sure. I enjoyed Gary Frank drew it for a while.
That was the other thing, because Gary Frank is like my favorite artist in comics.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh.
I really enjoyed the run that was written by Adam Warren. This was towards the latter half of the first ongoing. I don't really remember a damn thing about it other than I enjoyed reading it. While it was going on, Adam Warren, very famous for drawing manga. He does
Superpowered or
Empowered. For Dark Horse. I think he also did Dirty Pair, which is based on an anime. Super talented guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, Gen 13. It's just I've grown out of it or lost interest. Or they've beaten the interest out of me, whatever.
It could have stayed dead, and I wouldn't have noticed.
There you go. Hey, I know I said there was three more callers, but there was really only two.
Hey-o.
The last call in the voicemail is our intro for the main podcast. You're going to get to hear it.
Oh, buddy.
So, that was it. Let's get to our favorite caller. Keith, favorite call.
Well, it certainly wasn't Matt Baum.
Though I did like his answer.
Yeah, it's a good answer. But I just can't give it to him. I'm going with Demetrius Murray, with the Batgirl. Really close to home for me. Like, yeah, bring back old Birds of Prey, please. Yeah. Oh, that was another book that was terrible in the relaunch.
I'm with you there. I think that Demetrius certainly spoke to a lot of my own opinions, but I'm giving my favorite call to the Orca for Dark Knight Strikes Again.
I think it's Da Orca.
It's Da Orca.
Yeah.
For Dark Knight Strikes Again. Good Lord. Such an overhyped piece of
Yeah, it's so bad.
Three issues.
What are those backgrounds?
$9 a book.
Ugh.
And this was in 2001.
Ugh. So that's like $20 a book.
Right. This is in 2020. This is 2001 money. For a book that was supposed to be such an exciting return to a legendary piece of source material by a legendary creator.
Now, did Klaus Janson ink that as well?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because somewhere around there was when I started to really hate Klaus Janson.
Yeah, but Klaus Janson certainly didn't do...
He didn't hurt that book.
the damage to that
no,
book.
No, no, no.
My pick for a comic that I wish would have stayed gone, it makes me very sad to admit this, but I'm going to say The New Warriors.
Ooh.
Which everyone that listens to this show knows that I love dearly with my whole heart.
Oh, yeah.
But every single time it is resurrected, it is diminished.
That last one was the worst.
No, it wasn't the worst. There have been worse. But
I might have missed those other worst ones, though.
They have always failed to recapture what made the first volume of New Warriors so great, and a book that people still talk about today, 20 years later, even though it came out at the heart of the 90s.
Hmm.
But every time they bring back New Warriors, they try to recapture something and they just fail. Or they don't try and they just resurrect the name for, I don't know, recognition. The Scotty Young New Warriors book where they blow up half the cast and they recast them as these ridiculous reality show stars. It did irreparable damage to these characters that took years to recover from. The third volume was, or no, the fourth volume. Good Lord, there have been four New Warriors revivals.
What is this, The Punisher?
I know. The fourth volume, which wasn't even the New Warriors at all. It was a bunch of mutants that had been depowered on M-Day, mm-hmm. using old supervillain technology to become superheroes. Like, you had a girl running around with Doc Ock arms.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea, but it's not the New Warriors.
No.
The closest thing I can remember that really made a good, strong effort was Volume 2, which was written by Jay Farber, who I love, and he loved the New Warriors. It just didn't resonate with audiences, and it was canceled after 10 issues.
10 issues is a lot, though, these days.
Yeah, but this was years ago. So with all said and done, looking back at all the attempts, the failed attempts...
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, I just wish they would have left New Warriors in the past.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I just can't.
If every time you respond to a call is I can't disagree because I haven't read it.
I haven't read all of the New Warriors.
That reboots. Doesn't stop us, Keith.
I know. Shit's terrible. My pick, and it would be really easy for me to just say the entire DC universe right now, but I'm not gonna do it. Because I do it all the time.
Thank you.
I'm going to go with The Ultimates when Jeff Loeb took over.
Ultimates 3.
It was so bad, and it led up to Ultimatum, which was so much worse. And, like, Ultimates has its problems. I mean, it's a Mark Miller joint. And it's not, like, the best, but it did give us a lot of fun stuff that has translated really well into the movies. I really liked the hippie Thor. I thought that was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But then it got real weird with Jeff Loeb. And Jeff Loeb is one of my favorite writers from the past. But something happened to Jeff Loeb, and we all know what it is. And if you don't know what it is, do some digging. I don't want to talk about it. It's depressing.
Jeff Loeb certainly went through some sort of shift, and the books he started to write were not resonating.
No, his Hulk book. Oh God, so bad. But yeah, Ultimates. That's my answer. That's all I can really say about it.
I 100% agree. Ultimates. I enjoyed the first Ultimates for what it mm-hmm. was. Ultimates 2 had its problems,
yes.
But at least it was still true to the original concept.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimates 3 just flat out sucks.
It's terrible.
It is bad. And like you said, it went into Ultimatum. And for me, that was the beginning of the end of the Ultimate Universe.
Oh, yeah. Other than Ultimate Spider-Man, that was the end of the Ultimate Universe for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, I was just done with all of it.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's just, I don't know why it's taken Marvel so long to put a bullet in the back of the head of the Ultimate Universe, but it's finally happening.
Well, they had to think of a good way to get, you know, Miles Morales into the Marvel Universe. And I feel like this is a way, good or not, we'll find out.
Well, I'm glad that they're salvaging elements that are worthwhile,
yeah.
and scrapping what has become a burden.
Yeah.
So, but for yeah, sure. Ultimate Universe, great answer. Everybody, thank you for your calls. You were all very succinct, very short. Lots of you didn't answer the question. I don't even care. I appreciate you calling to check in on us. Elise, I hope Matt got out of your tree.
Yeah, get him a ladder.
Get him a ladder because he can't get down on his own. Next week, we are taking the week off. There will not be a question of the week or an answer of the week.
Spring break!
Sure, there you go. Matt is still out of town. I'm getting ready to move, so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that Matt's out of town and get some work done at home.
Moving on up.
Hopefully to bigger and better things. So please bear with us while we take a short break. We'll be back when Matt gets back into town. Bear with us. Stick with us. Go to the forums.
There sooner or later, promise.
And hey, I'm gonna use this week off as well to put up a lot of the written content that I've been backlogging for reasons.
That's good stuff.
I swear I'm not taking the time off just to watch Daredevil over and over.
Well, you know,
I'll have it out of my system by then.
Things gotta happen in order.
So thank you again, everyone, for your calls, for calling to check in on us, for caring, and for keeping the show alive. We wouldn't have it without you. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off. We love you all.
Mwah.
Except for you. You know who you are.
Yeah, you do.